welcome to Infotech Research Group's monthly Threat Landscape Briefing. We use these briefings to cover current topics related to cybersecurity, such as threat actor campaigns, regulatory compliance and legal issues, and exploitation methods and tactics being used by today's cybercriminals.
For this month's briefing, we start with Senior Research Analyst Cassandra Cooper regarding the rising threat of Internet of Things attacks. Then we hear from Research Analyst Logan Rohde about a recent data breach experienced by Home Depot. Finally, we hear from Research Specialist Isaac Kinsella about a drop in data breach reporting in 2020. Without further ado, let's begin.
Nokia's recent threat intelligence report further exposes the potential risks associated with Internet of Things or IoT devices and the ever-expanding IoT landscape. The report, generated from data sourced from over 150 million devices connected to networks with Nokia's NetGuard endpoint security product, showed IoT devices as having the second highest infection rate at nearly 33% of all device types. This number increased twofold from the 2019 infection rate of only 16% and was second only to Windows PCs, which had an infection rate of 39%. So why the severe spike in the number of infected or poisoned IoT devices, and how can InfoSec teams respond when many of our enterprises now leverage a pretty comprehensive IoT ecosystem as a part of their infrastructure? The rapid growth of the IoT device market is obviously in part to blame, and this is coupled with a lagging set of security controls that can't quite keep pace with the rapid changes in technology. A recent McKinsey report details that approximately 127 new IoT devices are connecting each second to the network, providing malicious attackers with a vastly expanded attack surface for them to target. IoT devices are being used for everything right now, from general household products and appliances to facilitating transfer of information in healthcare institutions to assisting with large-scale energy production plants. Attackers have latched onto this new set of low-hanging fruit entry points and are infiltrating IoT devices through the use of botnets that carry out attacks, including DDoS attacks, man-in-the-middle attacks, as well as distribution of malware and ransomware on devices and through the network. This leaves IT and InfoSec leaders asking themselves what can be done. Key insights have come out of factors that increase the success rate of IoT attacks, including the level of visibility of devices to the internet. Public-facing IP addresses tend to increase the likelihood of a fruitful IoT attack, while the use of network address translation helps to reduce the success rate of IoT attacks by decreasing the device's level of visibility. Cyber and InfoSec teams should take a layered approach to preventative cybersecurity measures, employing principles of security by design in order to ensure that security is baked into each component of IT infrastructure design. Taking steps to ensure hardware is tested and devices are regularly updated and authenticated is also foundational. And looking to strengthen identity and access management controls is key. Security leaders should adopt principles of never trust, always verify, which is a core tenet of zero trust security model or zero trust architecture. And when it comes to validating or trusting devices on the corporate network, this is a core tenet that really should be applied. Finally, IT and cybersecurity leaders should look to minimize or at least better understand what type and how much or the volume of sensitive data that's being processed and stored by and through IoT devices. These are some key security considerations to minimize the overall risk and be proactive as opposed to reactive in the cyber approach. The final piece of the puzzle, however, is people. Cybersecurity leaders and IT leaders should look to include and provide basic security awareness and training modules on the role of IoT devices in the workplace. And this is to help employees better understand practices around appropriate device visibility settings, as well as the importance of frequently changing credentials such as passwords and ensuring there's a baseline level of complexity in the passwords and credentials chosen to access devices. Users must also be aware of the dangers of IoT devices when working from home that could potentially pick up or record sensitive corporate information being discussed or being reviewed by enterprise collaboration platform. By addressing the full spectrum of potential risks brought on by introducing IoT devices for both personal and corporate purposes into an environment, InfoSec and IT leaders better prepare themselves in the face of a potential malicious attack and can minimize the negative outcome and business disruption.
Home Depot has suffered a data breach affecting Canadian customers. On October 28th, reports began circulating online from customers who had received emails about in-store pickups for other people's orders. In some cases, customers received hundreds of these emails, which contained some personal information, including names, emails, addresses, order numbers, and contents, as well as the last four digits of payment cards. the retailer responded to these reports by noting that there was a, quote, systems error that affected a few customers scheduled for in-store pickup, and that the data that was released was not particularly sensitive, i.e., not a full credit card number or password. However, at least one customer replied that hers was an online order rather than an in-store pickup, and that the emails she received suggested that, quote, at least 900 customers had been affected, taking issue with the previous claim that the incident was small and the implication that the exposed data was not all that concerning. What others have pointed out, though, is that Home Depot staff do not always ask for secondary identification when orders are picked up in the store, meaning that potentially anyone in possession of the order receipt email could impersonate the original customer and claim the order as their own. Also of concern is the fact that the personal information that was leaked can be used to create very convincing phishing emails, given the amount of personal details that could be inserted into the scam to make it seem reliable. Home Depot's response to this breach went against incident communication best practices in two key ways. One, unconfirmed information was released, and two, there was an apparent attempt to downplay the incident as minor and of no real consequence. However, this latter sentiment has not been shared by some of the customers affected by the issue, at least one of whom has advocated for all those affected to report the incident to the Privacy Commissioner of Canada. When communicating with stakeholders about a breach, regardless of the size, it is vital to put stakeholder needs first and to never release information that has not been 100% confirmed. In all cases, it is important to show stakeholders that the incident is being taken seriously and that support will be provided for those affected. Moreover, if information about this incident changes or is otherwise discovered to be less than accurate, it can breed suspicions among stakeholders that the incident isn't really under control, or worse, that details of it are being covered up. The best tactic is to update the narrative as you go, as opposed to changing it with every new communication. For more information on communicating a security incident, see InfoTech's blueprint, Master Your Security Incident Response Communications Program.
Data breach reporting dropped significantly in 2020. Breach disclosures dropped, but attacks remain on the rise? Risk-Based Security, a security firm, has published their 2020 QuickView report. The report details a few key findings. Malicious actors continue to be one of the primary forces behind the number of breaches occurring. However, misconfigured databases and services remain the leading cause of records being exposed. The number of records exposed has increased to over 36 billion, with only 2,935 publicly reported breaches in the first three quarters of 2020. This year alone has seen twice the number of breaches reported in 2019. And while the number of breach records has increased, the number of reports has fallen, suggesting a lack of forthrightness from enterprises to come forward to say that they've been breached. In part, it's speculated that the shift to ransomware has had an effect on the lack of reporting. This may be because of the sensitive nature of the compromised information. If the information stolen lacks the necessary personally identifiable information, businesses do not necessarily have to report the exposure. While most of the breaches exist outside of the organization, over 17% of them originate within an organization, and 67% of those come from user error. Data breaches may be going down, but that doesn't translate to security. Read between the lines and generously apply salt. While the decrease in the reporting of attacks from the outset seems promising, in fact, it points to a more nefarious trend. First, actors are switching to more lucrative ransomware attacks, pivoting away from these large-scale breaches. So while enterprises are still breached, the nature of the breach and the data that may be compromised doesn't necessarily have to be reported. In essence, this means that enterprises that you trust to house your sensitive information or data may in fact be breached, but simply haven't met the criteria to initiate a report. This is concerning for several reasons. The first is that enterprises may be able to get away with not reporting an incident, leading to a false sense of security that everything is fine because the enterprise hasn't reported anything. Second, once attackers realize this relationship, small-scale attacks could be on the rise in a similar vein to a racketeering scheme, in which attackers only attack on a small scale, but more frequently to avoid triggering the public disclosure and outing themselves. Finally, for clients, they can sometimes be at most at risk. With no reporting mechanism in place to handle these smaller scale attacks, clients can be misled into thinking that their information has been secured until it is too late. So, while the signs point to a better year for cyber attacks, Reading between the lines, we can see that the shift in how the dynamic has really played out. This begs the question as to the efficacy of the reporting mechanisms for small-scale breaches, and as to whether or not these protocols should be reanalyzed. While not necessarily every single breach is of the highest priority to either clients or enterprises, that information should still be made publicly available so that consumers can make informed decisions upfront.
This concludes this month's briefing. If you have any questions about what you've heard, want to learn more, or need any support, please do not hesitate to contact us and set up an analyst call. Thank you, and see you next month.